I'd ask you to please turn with me this evening to the Gospel of John and chapter 6. The Gospel of John and chapter 6 and verse 48. John chapter 6 and verse 48. These are the words of the Lord Jesus, where he says about himself, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life." Now, the Lord makes a number of statements describing himself and his work, and each statement is prefaced by "I am," and it gives us a fuller understanding of his all-sufficiency, the great I am, the eternal one. And here the Lord is teaching us that he is the one who gives to us everlasting life, meaning everlasting life spiritually in the soul. This is the supreme fulfillment of what life really is. You see, this evening we have a soul. Every one of us has a never-dying soul. But maybe not everyone here this evening has spiritual life within their soul. There may well be this evening those among us who have souls which have not been quickened into everlasting life. That is, they have not experienced the wonderful, precious gift of spiritual life in the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life. And so this evening, this message is very important for you, because we have in our bodies natural life and spiritual life. Natural life and spiritual life. And when both dwell in us, there is fullness of life. Now, when the Bible speaks of spiritual life, it's not speaking about anything of a spiritual nature which is not holy. There is only one holy spiritual life, and that is from God. All other spirits dwell in the darkness. They have no place whatsoever for the goodness of your soul. They are hindrances. They are to do with the darkness. They are to do with the principalities and the powers. The only spiritual life that will ever, ever stand us in the right stead in terms of eternity and in terms of our relationship with God is that which is given to us by God. You must be born again. And we're not born with spiritual life. We are dead in trespasses and sins. We may have spiritual experiences, but they are not holy spiritual experiences. Experiences that might move us and affect us and impress us, but only the Holy Spirit of God can give us true, eternal, spiritual life, whereupon we are born again and we are adopted into the family of God. This is the uniqueness of a Christian. They have human and spiritual life within them. So Jesus makes this statement, "I am the bread of life." And he had miraculously fed 5,000 people just before this statement. The next day, thousands of people come to meet this amazing bread maker, the one who'd fed them abundantly. Maybe they thought he could produce a different menu at this day, another type of meal. Maybe they thought, well, if he can produce bread, if he can produce food by a miracle, why not our clothes? But Jesus knew they had only come back to him because they had eaten and were filled. In other words, Jesus was saying to them, he discerned their focus on their in their minds, in their desire, was simply on the material. It was not on the spiritual. Now then, maybe we come this evening in the same way to God. We are really only worshipping God for his providential, his practical, his creative goodness toward us. We pray to God that he might heal us. We pray to God that he might open up a door for employment. We perhaps pray to God that we might get this position or that position or this house or that house, or something might be provided for us. That's all well and good. But if that's the only aspect of your praying to God, that is very sad, because you are actually missing the vital point. These creative blessings are just pointers to you to a more abundant blessing that comes through the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. There's something far more important than our daily food and the material, however needful this undoubtedly is. What is the most important desire that we can ever seek of the Lord Jesus is everlasting life for your soul. And this is the greatest gift that God can give you. There is no greater gift that God can give you this evening than spiritual life in Christ Jesus, holy spiritual life in Christ Jesus. Now, neglecting the Lord Jesus Christ for your soul and focusing only on the material in your relationship with God, it's a bit like, let's put it this way, we might say, you could think of other illustrations, thousands of others, but often I drive by the A3 where there's a signpost to Wisley Gardens. And I remember meeting somebody at Wisley Gardens once. And there was this cafe little shop there in the beginning entrance part. In fact, it was only actually on the outside of the entrance. And I met this person at Wisley Gardens. I had a long chat with this person, this other pastor. And we had a nice cup of coffee and we had a nice chat. Profitable time. But I didn't go into Wisley Gardens. I only went to the outside. I didn't actually go into the entrance. I didn't want to pay actually to go in. But, you know, we can be a bit like that with our relationship with God. There, behind the gate, there is these beautiful flowers, and yet we're on the entrance and we're only dealing with the physical. Just imagine. I could have feasted my eyes with the beauty of the colours, and all I did was have a cup of coffee. Well, we can be like that with God. We can just focus upon the material. So, what is life for each one of us about this evening? Let's be honest with ourselves. What is it really like? And this is quite a danger for us that come, perhaps some of us who actually come from families of whereupon we've been brought up to read our Bibles, and we've gone to chapel all our life, and perhaps we know the right things to say, we know the right expressions and the right words. So it's very important for us to really examine our hearts. What do we really want from God? What is our real desire this evening in our relationship with God? Can we say, for example, and I find this expression recorded in the Bible very challenging, Lord, come quickly. Lord, come quickly. Are we ready? If Jesus was to come tonight and the whole world would know, if the Lord Jesus was to come from heaven and the end of the world came, every eye shall see him and everyone will bow down at the name of Jesus. It will be a most tremendous occasion. But are we ready? Are we able to say this evening, Lord, come quickly. The bread of life. Lord Jesus Christ, I have a relationship with him. I have spiritual life. Come quickly, Lord. Come quickly. This is a very searching expression. Well, we thank God for his faithfulness and goodness toward us in providence. But God has so much more to give us in Christ Jesus than just the material. The creative blessings of God are just like the appetizer in a meal. When we were in Cyprus, we had a restaurant we went to in the village we were staying in, and it was a beautiful little restaurant, and they would bring out a taster before you ate your meal, main meal, and it was just really a foretaste, you might say, an appetizer for the main meal. Well, if we look at creation and we look at all these providential blessings we have from God, it's just like God saying, look, this is a taster. This is just an example. It's symbolic of a far greater blessing you can have in Christ Jesus. And maybe this evening, in reality, you are really seeking your fulfillment in life in the material, perhaps in the emotional realm alone. This can happen. You see, music is a wonderful blessing from the Lord, but it can lift our emotions, either through its beauty, or it can also lift our emotion in a certain way through its beat, if we are attracted to rock music. I remember before I was converted, that's what I desired. That's what I lived for. Sport can lift our emotions through excitement. Hobbies can lift our emotions. Our gardens can be, if we allow them to be, something that we find our focus on. We thank God for our gardens, but sometimes they can become, we can be satisfied just with the material, satisfied with something practical. Possessions can lift our emotions. Holidays can lift our emotions. Education or work ambition can lift our emotions. It may be wealth lifts our emotions. What is our life about this evening? The common graces of God are never meant to be all there is about life. However gracious and amazing God is in giving us so much, really, especially in this nation of ours, where I think we're the fifth wealthiest nation in the whole world, and we're only a very little country with respect, and God has been so gracious to us. But that's not what life's all about. And this was the great issue that led up to the statement that Jesus made about himself. The people were content to seek him, you see, just for material provision. Jesus answered and said, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Jesus said, I'm far more than a material bread maker, the creator of the world, with the Father, with the Son. I'm actually the giver of spiritual blessing, of spiritual bread, the bread of life, of spiritual life. So let's consider this evening, what are these spiritual blessings that flow from Christ, the bread of life? What are these blessings, and why are they so important for us this evening? Why are we missing so much if we don't know these blessings for ourselves personally in the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ? I am the bread of life. Well, as we have said earlier, through the Lord Jesus Christ, under the power of the Spirit and the sovereignty of God the Father, comes everlasting spiritual life in Christ Jesus. I am the bread of life. Not just for time, but for eternity. Everlasting spiritual life. And through the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life, the Savior of the world, we can have communion and peace with God. This is amazing. You know, the way to God the Father is through God the Son, by the Spirit. And Jesus is the door whereby we can come and we can enjoy communion with God. And peace with God. So much so that in Jesus Christ, as we trust in Him and trust in Him alone, we can say to God, the everlasting God, Abba Father, dear Father. And this is all possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's another thing. We are justified by faith in Jesus Christ before God. This is another great blessing that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. As we come to Him as a sinner, needing salvation, accepting and realizing under conviction that we're utterly unworthy in and of ourselves, we do not deserve any favor from God, we cannot earn it, and here we are in this helpless situation, and we come just as we are, and we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we cry, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. And there is Jesus, willing and ready to save. Brother Ed read this to us this morning, this evening, in the opening passage. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy, heavy laden, I will give you rest. This is what Jesus is saying this evening, dear friend. Come unto me. However unworthy you might feel, whatever distress you are in, however confusing your life might be, the words of Jesus are, come. Come to me. I am the bread of life. And as you come to Him, and as you trust in Him, we are justified. That means that you are presented perfect before God, as though you had never sinned. Everything has been taken care of. All your sins, past, present and future, are all dealt with under the guarantee of the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed at Calvary's cross. And you are given an eternal inheritance in heaven. What a blessing. Wow, Jesus is the bread of life. There's nothing like this. There's no bread like this than the bread that comes from Jesus Christ. Everlasting spiritual life, communion and peace with God, justified by faith in Him before God, eternal inheritance in heaven. And then we are given the desire and the help to understand God's holy word. We realize that we are going, the word of God is to be believed. Again, it was said in prayer this evening, the word of God is true and we simply believe it. Why? Because it is the word of God. If this was the word of man, then we'd have every reason to doubt it. But you know, friends, Genesis through Revelation is God's holy word. And because it's come from God, and because it's inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, it is absolutely and utterly and eternally true. And dear friend, you can trust it. You can trust your life with it. Absolutely Now, I often say about this word absolutely in this postmodern era, so many people, especially politicians, use this word absolutely in a light sense, but only in God can we really use this word absolutely. Completely, utterly trust in His Word. The Word of God then that comes from God, and it's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of life, the Word made flesh and dwelling among us. It's a blessing to the soul. It's the spiritual meat and drink. And you know, there's another blessing that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is fellowship with the saints. We realize that we all need the same person. We all have to come the same way to the Lord Jesus. We all need salvation. We all need to be saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And our fellowship is in Christ Jesus. And there is another blessing in Christ Jesus. And as you sit here this evening, as you trust in Him and as you believe in Him, is to know that you are loved with an everlasting love, and therefore you are eternally secure, that nothing can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. And you know, as you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you enter onto a pathway, and it's a pathway of discovery. You're continually finding out more and more about the wonder of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it won't stop in time. When we get to heaven, as we trust in the Lord Jesus, our minds will be emancipated in a most wonderful way, where we will be able to take in the glory of Jesus. We will be able to take in the wonders of the Him in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And we will experience in the very fullest way possible what it means to receive from Jesus the bread of life. And so as you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can face the future with hope and certainty. Now, this is what I mean. If your relationship with God is all about providence, and you only about providence, I mean, only about providence, and you say, well, I trust God for health, I trust God for safety, and for this and for that, that's very good. But it's not everything. It's by no means everything. This is really coming into the fullness of the bread of life. This is what Jesus was saying. I can do these miracles. I can do these signs. I can heal people. I can protect people. And we know yet on Friday evening, by a miracle, a family were protected in an accident. That's amazing. But God can do far more than that. He can save a sinner from hell through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you may sit here this evening and say, now I realize I need a deeper relationship with God. I need to know the real blessing of this bread of life. I want to know Him in a holy way. I want a holy spiritual experience. So how may I obtain this bread of life? And this was a question put to Jesus after He challenged the materialistic view of life, the inadequate view of life. Jesus said, labor for the meat which endures to eternal life, everlasting life. Of course, they straight away replied, well, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And they had assumed that Jesus must mean, what works can we do? What can we contribute? What can we earn? How can we earn our way to heaven? How can we pay for the bread of life? But then Jesus explained, it cannot be earned. It cannot be purchased. It cannot be demanded by us. Because everlasting life can only be given to us as a gift. By Jesus, the Son of God, it's a free gift. And so Jesus replied to their question, what shall we do? What work shall we do? In a very interesting, and he gave a very astounding answer to their question. The work, the labor that God decrees to experience and know the bread of life is not a labor of works. It's a labor of faith. That's what Jesus says. That you might believe on him as the Son of God. It's not a labor of works. It's a labor of faith. And so God calls us this evening, clearly and concisely, to the labor of faith, the exercise of faith. Simply believe in Jesus, the bread of life. Faith is a gift from God, but we must exercise it. That's the laboring part. It's not just a theological belief in the head. It said, no, I trust wholly my whole life, my whole being in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the labor of faith. It's not a labor of works. We are called to believe in Jesus, the bread of life, the giver of everlasting life, the one whom God has sent to save sinners. This is the work of God, to believe in Jesus. Not ceremony, not our works, not our tradition, not your righteousness, not your giving. It means to believe in Jesus, to receive the grace of everlasting life. It means believing in the person and work of Jesus as the Son of God, and to believe in him as the perfect man. Trust in him as your Savior and Lord. This is the labor of faith. Do you trust him this evening? Not just for your providences, but for your soul, for your eternal future, for your eternal security, for your future. And do you desire him, to know him and the power of his resurrection, to know more of Jesus, more about Jesus would I know, more of his saving fullness show. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do ask that in each one of our lives, that we might have that wonderful desire, that desire above every other desire, to know Jesus, the bread of life, and to receive him by faith into our lives, and to trust in him with all our heart. O Heavenly Father, work in our lives by the power of your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, Amen.